Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
We need to stand united, for undivided we shall never fall. Remember all, we need to trust in and then forever call our brothers and our sisters. And are you and I aware? You and I both know that we can rely on it.
So, interesting story out of the Kansas City Star. Turns out that in the state of Kansas, the Republicans and Democrats came together to override a veto of Governor Brownback's to raise taxes. Yes, you have heard that right. The overwhelming majorities in both the House and the Senate there in Kansas have voted to increase taxes of more than $1.2 billion over the next 2 years. The Senate vote was 27 to 13 in the House, 88 to 31. Because look, what they've done in Kansas, you want to know what's the matter with Kansas? Brownback, conservative ideology, tax cuts for the wealthy, and, well, gutting education, health care, all of that stuff for everyone else. And finally, maybe they're at that point. The question is, how long does it take us here in Pennsylvania, where I live, to wake up to that reality? And here to talk about that, and also the big event they had on Monday, our good friend Mark Steer, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick.
So what do you get from this? Kansas, are they coming out of the conservative myth, out of the mist? What's going on?
You know, you took the words out of my mouth, because as I was preparing to get on the radio, I saw that report and I looked at some of the details. It's really quite striking. They had a $900 million deficit, and it's a much smaller state than Pennsylvania, and they just raised taxes an awful lot, rolling back many of the cuts to corporate taxes and tax cuts on the wealthy that they had passed a number of years ago, and that had sent them into a terrible spiral of budget deficits and slow economic growth and more budget deficits. You know, they are the poster child for the idea that you can tax cut your way to prosperity, and they're the poster child that shows it doesn't work. The question is, when are we going to recognize that in Pennsylvania? Because we've been cutting taxes on businesses for years and years. We've been arguing that if we hadn't done those corporate tax cuts, we'd have a surplus this year and next year, and money to invest in higher education and education. And that's the way to get to prosperity. So it's a matter of time before I think we come face to face with the right-wing ideology that's dominated our state and recognize that it's time for common sense to prevail.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, how bad does it have to get? Because, you know, some of the stories I've heard come out of Kansas are just horrible. And you wonder, what's it going to take for people here in Pennsylvania to wake up? Now, I understand on Monday you guys had a big rally, a big lobby day. Tell me what happened.
We had about 700 people in the rotunda. It was really rocking and rolling. It was a lot of fun for all of us because, you know, there's a lot of chanting, and it's great to give a speech before 700 people and have the kind of response I got and the other speakers got. And we're not leaving it there. I think we made a big statement that people in this state, people who care about education and human services and roads and bridges, are willing to see taxes go up if the rich and big corporations pay their fair share. And that's what we were saying. And we're not stopping there. We did a lot of lobbying. We have lobbying days in districts coming up on June 8th and 9th and 15th and 16th. And if people want to sign up to take part in those lobby days, they can go to our website, pachoice.org/budgetaction, and sign up there. And we'll try to arrange lobby visits around the state with critical state legislators and get people in the offices and get them to hear this message again.
Now, looking at Kansas, do you think this will play with any of the Republican legislators in Pennsylvania? Because, look, there's got to be an awakening moment. There's got to be an epiphany where you go, you know what? My schools are being harmed. The roads aren't being paved. You know, we're kicking people off of vital services, and we're kicking the most vulnerable. Do you think that this might help, might play somehow?
I hope so. We're talking to legislators from time to time on both sides of the aisle, and it's a very strange experience to do that right now. People are walking around kind of wringing their hands saying, woe is me. They don't want to cut education. That there's a small increase even in the Republican budget. They don't want to reduce that. They don't really want to cut human services. Although there's some Republicans want to cut Medicaid, others know, well, hold on, this is not the time to be cutting Medicaid when there's so much uncertainty about federal health care issues. And yet they say they don't want to raise taxes. And they've got a budget deficit over 2 years that's approaching $4 billion.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Mark, and this is the reality. And I know nobody wants to cut these things. No, and everyone says, oh, we care and all that. But by default, you're making that choice. By not bringing in the revenue that we need, by deliberately being in the way of any enhancements, you're making that choice. You're deliberately making that choice not to get those programs to people because you refuse to bring in the revenue to pay for it.
Yeah, that's right. And now when we have the big deficits, they've got to face the fact that they've got to make a choice. They can't just cut their way to a budget, a balanced budget, without really harming lots of people who they say they do not want to harm. And I think they understand that the political consequences of deep cuts in human services and education are going to be painful for them. Look, we replaced the governor after 1 year because of major cuts, and I think, you know, it will happen again, and people will turn on the legislature if they try to have drastic cuts to education and human services to balance the budget.
Now, you guys have got a pretty comprehensive plan that I think is actually a way forward. Because, look, most working people, they don't want their taxes raised. You know, nobody I know says, yeah, I want, you know, jack up my tax rates. I'm doing so well because my wages have gone through the roof. We're talking about, you know, closing some loopholes, talking about, you know, taxing some of the shale that's being taken out of the state. Some sane, rational things, right?
Yeah, there are lots of ways to raise money without raising taxes on working people in the middle class. In fact, we have a plan that would actually lower taxes on working people in the middle class, change the personal income tax so that taxes on wages and interest go down a little bit, and taxes on income that mostly goes to wealthy people, capital gains, royalties, business profits, dividends, go up. It still would leave Pennsylvania with lower taxes on the very rich than any of our neighboring states, but it would bring in $2 billion and cut taxes for 60% of Pennsylvanians. When we talk about pay your fair share, that's what we mean. When we talk about a severance tax, which every other state that has huge reserves of natural gas has, that's what we mean when, you know, that's what paying your fair share means. Corporate tax reform, closing the Delaware loophole, that's what pay your fair share means. None of these taxes fall on working people in the middle class. In fact, you know, we want to cut taxes on working people in the middle class. Our plan would cut taxes for someone making $50,000 a year by $135 a year.
You know, so what do you say to the person that ultimately, Mark, you know, that sounds great, but ultimately the middle class is going to pay the brunt of everything because, you know, we're where the money's at, supposedly.
Well, that's just not true. I mean, and in fact, that's our argument for fixing our upside-down tax system. Over the last 25 years, incomes for the top 1% have gone up 120%. Incomes for the bottom 99% has gone up 12%. One of the reasons we don't have enough money in this state is that we're not taxing the people who are making money. We're taxing the people whose incomes aren't going up. So we got to fix that. We got to fix the loopholes that allow corporations and natural gas drillers to get away without paying their fair share. And we would have plenty of money for the education and for the roads and bridges and the higher education and the pre-K and the human services that working people in the middle class actually need. And in fact, everyone needs.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're a really rich person, there's going to come a time where you need an investment in higher education because, you know, you have a business, you want to hire qualified workers.
And the thing that gets me is, you know, when you have these tax discussions, and I've had a couple of them lately, where people, the second you bring up the idea of raising taxes, their ears shut down, their mouth begins to foam, and you know, like a rabid dog, because we've been trained. Anytime you talk about taxes, it's to immediately repel any discussion or any thought.
You know, we just believe these myths that taxes are the barrier to economic growth. Well, you know what? It's time to look at the facts. Kansas is the perfect example. They cut taxes on the idea that they would have economic growth. Instead, they have had an economic disaster. Because what brings economic growth is not just private investment, but public investment. And taxes are a minor share of the cost of doing business. Businesses don't look to move one place to another on the basis of how high the taxes are. What they look for is, first, an educated workforce, and second, good roads and bridges and transit systems so that they can get their products out, they can get people in to work for them.
And
those are the two most important things.
Right, and then the third is how much they can get out of the state, how much they can shake the state down for handouts.
Right, but they're not going to shake a state down if the state doesn't have trained workers and good public transit.
Good point. So last question I've got for you. What do we do? I mean, the budget deadline's coming up not too far down the road. What are we asking people to do?
Well, you know what? What we need is for the people who have good sense, who are listening and understand that we got to get beyond this no new taxes thing, to contact their legislators. Just pick up the phone, call your state legislator, go online. If you don't know who they are, tell them that you want a budget that puts people first, in which rich people and corporations pay their fair share. Tell them it's time to raise taxes on the rich and the corporations so that we can spend money on the public investments that we all need.
There you go. So we can have...
Just tell them. Keep telling them.
Yeah, keep and show up at their town halls if they are courageous enough to have one, all of that stuff. Mark, great talk with you. Congratulations on the good event. I look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks very much, Rick.
Always great talking to you. Mark Steer. Again, you want to check out their website? We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. He's the executive director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Quick break, right back. Stick around. This is the Rick Smith Show.
We're in a fight to bring the middle class back, and we ain't even planning on losing in this mighty war. The working class is under attack. Get up, fight on. Stand up, fight on. Yes, we can fight on. To the death, fight on. Get up, fight on. Stand up, fight on.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.